Yeah, it's once again, it's so great to be with you today, and what a rich time this is to sing with you and to all be in this one place together, low and high as well, to see everyone. And as I mentioned at the intro, we're here to celebrate God's grace over this church over the last 140 years. And I want to focus on three areas we are to celebrate God's grace toward us. And first is through our rich history. When you walk into this building, you maybe saw the old sign today as you walked in that says, Eureka Baptist Church established 1881. We are here 140 years later, carrying on the legacy of the founders who love God and made it their mission to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ in this community. 140 years ago, in 1881, the world was much different, as you might imagine. There were no vehicles. There were no planes. Most homes did not have underground plumbing. At this point in history, the Titanic sinking had not yet happened. Both world wars were still yet to be fought. All of us were many decades away from birth. Some of us were a century or more away from birth. Now, as we stand here in 2021, we know what it is like to go through wild times because of the season we just went through as a nation. But when this church started in 1881, there was also turbulence in America. Rutherford B. Hayes was the president to start that year. James Garfield won the election in 1880 and assumed office. At this time in American history, the inauguration was not in January. It was in March. And less than 4 months into his presidency, he was shot and then died less than 3 months later. So he was the president for only 7 months. After he died, the vice president, Chester A. Arthur, took over. What this means is that in 1881, the year this church was founded, there were three presidents of our country. As this turmoil was going on, a bunch of Danish immigrants who wanted to start a church started one near the St. Croix River in northwestern Wisconsin in a place called Eureka. Eureka means, anybody know? I found it. And these immigrants knew they found a special place to live. The rolling hills, the river, the lakes, the ponds, the trees, the open fields, the wildlife. Can you tell I love this area? And I know you do too. And these Danes named the church Eureka Danish Baptist Church. Okay, so we only dropped one word from the name since then. As we stand here in 2021, we still have a close connection with the founding of this church. We have a photo in the newly renovated Matson building, the building right over there, from 1893. In the photo, there is a man worth noting in the bottom row on the right-hand side who is three from the end. The man in this photo is named Peter Matson, the father of Elvin Matson. And Elvin is right here. A few rows back. I remember Elvin telling me that his father had him when he was older. He was in his 50s when he had Elvin. Peter was born in 1877, Elvin in 1929. What this means is that Elvin's father was a little boy, about 4 years old, when this church got started. We had many people in this church and in this area love history. It's a very historical place. And I find it incredibly fascinating that we have a connection with our church's founding 140 years later through Elvin Matson. Everyone who knows Elvin knows what a steady, faithful Christian he is. He has continued the legacy of his father and all of those founders to the present day. And what a blessing it is that he is here. I mean, who could have imagined that we would have that connection 140 years later? And we as a church continue that legacy also. About a year ago, in our newsletter, Barb Tremblay wrote about that picture in the Matson building. And she wrote this: at the time this photo was taken, these folks probably didn't think they were anyone special. But But they left behind a legacy of faith and faithfulness. So can we. These are good words by Barb. May we be faithful as many in our church's history have been faithful. As we think about our church's history, let's give thanks and praise to our Lord. As Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "The Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." The Lord has been faithful to several generations in the history of this church. I remember listening to a podcast where a famous pastor was once asked, "Do saints in heaven see what is happening on earth?" His answer, I think, was a good one. He said that anything that contributes to the fullness of one's joy happens in heaven. And this may include saints in heaven seeing things on earth that will bring joy to their heart in heaven. There's a verse in the Bible that may indicate this, Hebrews 12:1. "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." It may be that the founders of this church are able to see the work that God is doing through our church right now, through this church. It may be that the Lord is allowing them to watch this service. As we look at the past, it must be our aim to continue the strong legacy of all the saints who belong to this church over the years. So in this first point, we celebrate the rich history that God has written for Eureka Baptist going back to 1881. Now in the second point, we celebrate God's work in our church through our uniqueness. Our uniqueness. Every church has unique attributes. But I think it's also true that some churches are more unique than others. It's like seeing houses, right? You go to neighborhoods and every house looks the same. And then you go to some other neighborhoods where there's a lot of variety. And I know I'm biased because I love this church so much, but let me point out a few ways that this church is different from so many others. I tell my wife, Rihanna, often that this church is so different from any church I've ever seen. And let me explain some things, and what I want you to see is that this church is a special place to be. I've heard the story from 2008, and Bob mentioned this, that this church was near death. During the Christmas service, they had a few more than a dozen people who met downstairs to save money on heating. And here we are today. My, how God has blessed us since then, and how faithful He has been. But what kept this church alive? Well, the answer is God. But what did He use to keep this church alive? First, we need to recognize the people who stayed through the tough times, like the Matsons, the Trombleys, the Clarks, the Swansons, the Jorgensons, and maybe some others that I have forgotten. And if I did forget, I apologize. The reason we are here right now is largely because of these faithful servants who stayed when others told them to close down and go somewhere else. Even our own denomination told them to close down. But they forgot something about God. We worship a God who raises the dead. So some stayed, keeping the church going, but others came back after college or after years of being away. The kids who grew up in this church came back, bringing their spouses and kids with them. Amber, Hansi, Kyle, Shayla, Sean, Derek, Rachel Hall. I know that John Schnard was involved in the VBS at this church and came a handful of years ago. Over the last 5 to 10 years, the Lord used this young group to breathe life back into this church. Churches die when there are only middle-aged and older people with no younger, and when these families came back, all age groups were once again represented, from Levi to Elvin. 5 years ago, when I was looking for a church to pastor, I wanted to be used by God to build something. Not to be a captain just to keep a ship going, but to build something. So when I saw this church, I thought this is a wonderful group that I can build with for many years to come. And both items I just mentioned are very unique when we're talking about churches. First, people usually don't stay around in a church that is about to die. People want to go where things are happening, right? What's hip? What's lively? To go to a church where there's 15 people, who wants to do that? Unless you're faithful and want to keep it going. These faithful folks staying around, enduring, when they were told not, is very unique. What is also unique is that young people stay put. As you know, as some of you know, I'm from Mound, Minnesota. It's the west side of Lake Minnetonka, west of Minneapolis. And my home church is Mound Evangelical Free Church. That church has had many young people go through it over the last 40 years. But since 1980, my brother, Caleb, is the only adult who is still left at Mound Free who went there as a child. Think about that. And there's nothing wrong with the church, Mound Free. The point I'm making is that it's pretty normal for churches, especially in a metropolitan area, for that to happen. People come in, they pass through, they go somewhere else. Not here. By my count, we have 7 children that were here during their younger years and are still here today. This is unique, and this is something we should celebrate. And this is a credit to their parents and the adults in this church who helped influence them. Proverbs 22:6 comes to mind. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's neat to see when young people love Christ, stay committed to one place, and raise their children in the same place where they grew to love Jesus. A while back, I asked Deb Swanson if she thought her children would move away after high school and plant their roots somewhere else. She told me she knew they would stay. And how wonderful it would be if the younger generation we now had stayed around and continued the legacy of this church. Now, it may be that the Lord calls some away, and we won't object to that. We won't stand in the way. But I think it very well could happen. I could see that happening. And I hear him talking, and we want to live in Eureka when we get older. The close proximity also to which people live to the church is also unique. It's common for people to pass by 20 churches before they arrive at their church, and so often their church is not in their community. My old pastor once told me of the importance of going to church in your community, and I realize that sometimes it doesn't work out, but if you can do that, that's the best way to go. It's a blessing to be able to go to church the same place as your neighbors, so that you can not only worship the Lord together in one place, but also you can do life together. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." This is done best when you live close to one another, and we have so many in this church who live just within a few miles, not too far away. And I could say more unique things, but I have to stop there. May we thank the Lord for our uniqueness and how this is a blessing to this church and to this community. The third and final thing I want to highlight here about the blessing of God's grace over the last 140 years is this, and that is our common bond in Christ. We are not a country club. We are not a secular social gathering. We are not a self-help group that meets a few times a week. No, we are the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul describes what the body looks like in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. "And Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love." This is who we are. This is our goal. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us more succinctly that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the mission of our church, to grow in Christ together. This happens over the long haul. I've mentioned in previous sermons that so many people I grew up with are not walking with the Lord today. I don't want that to be our church. You know the legitimacy of something through its fruit. Does it last? Is it lively many years later? The test is over the long haul. And my prayer is that as a church, we would be on this journey over the long haul, growing together. And one way the growth happens is when people follow Jesus for the very first time. Some of you here today may identify as a Christian, but you have never truly given your life to Jesus Christ. Others of you would not identify as a Christian at all, but you came to celebrate the long anniversary of a church. And I just want to say, we are so glad that you have blocked out some time to celebrate this with us. But my guess is here, most identify as a Christian. Identifying as a Christian can be dangerous. And I just want to give this warning as I have you here today. We live in a Christianized area where one can be a cultural Christian, but not a true biblical Christian. We know what a Christian is through the Bible. That's where we find that out. Listen to these sobering words from Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Very sobering words from the Lord Jesus. Just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean you are a Christian. And I say this in love. And you might say, "Pastor Seth, I was baptized in the church. I come to church on Christmas and Easter. I'm a good neighbor. I'm a law-abiding citizen." But this is what cultural Christianity is. Cultural Christianity is going through the motions, but not truly following Jesus. Everyone here is either on the path to heaven or to hell. Jesus says this very clearly. It's very black and white. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, he says, "Enter by the narrow gates, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." So the question is, how do you know you're on the narrow path that leads to heaven? Jesus tells us the answer. The Bible tells us the answer. The answer is very clear. Do you believe the gospel? Okay, gospel means good news. You are a sinner. There's only good news because there's first bad news. The bad news is you are a sinner. And the good news is what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and what he has done. There's many of you here, I don't know you very well. Some of you I've never met before, but I do know something about you. You're a sinner. That's what we all have in common. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the due penalty for sin is eternal separation from God in hell." God is not only a loving God, he's also a just God. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And that's referring to eternal death. This is what we deserve as sinners. But 2,000 years ago, this is the good news. 2,000 years ago, God graciously sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. He took upon himself our sins, and he faced hell for us. And he endured the holy, just wrath of God on the cross. John 3:16, many of you know it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So that's what you got to do. Believe. You might say, "I've prayed the sinner's prayer." But my question is, does the biblical Jesus mean anything to you? If Jesus means nothing to you, then praying a magical prayer that just checks the box. That doesn't do it. It's the heart. The heart of the matter is that the heart is the matter. Do you love Him? That's what God calls for, is a sincere heart. You need to truly see the gravity of your sin and put your full trust in Jesus. And if this happens, then you are forgiven. You will never pay for your sins because Jesus paid for them. And if you are forgiven, then you are a heaven-bound person, so that when you take your last breath, you will experience fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore in the presence of God. One of my favorite verses, and you see this verse as you walk in, Psalm 16:11, in your presence there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. There's two things that humans want. We want to be fully happy, and we want to be fully happy forever. And you're only going to find that in one place, and that's through Jesus Christ. But how can you be sure that you're saved and heaven-bound? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, behold, the new has come. If you truly belong to Christ, your life is going to look different than it once did. You will love Christ more than anything. You love Him even more than good things, more than family, more than work, more than hobbies, more than life itself. And it will show in the way you live. So ask yourself this question today. Is God number one? Can you say, largely speaking, that this is true? Or is He consistently on the back burner? To be a true disciple of Jesus, to truly be heaven-bound, at the end of the day, Christ will be shown to be number one in your life. The call of the Bible is clear. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But what this belief means is that obedience will accompany it. Now, it is true. You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that when you come to Christ, when you believe and you trust His finished work 100% for your salvation, what's going to happen is that you will be different. Because the Holy Spirit comes into your life. In John 3:36, this is what Jesus says. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Okay, so true belief will always lead to true obedience in Christ. So do you sincerely believe? For those who have never truly believed, I pray that you will. Because one day your heart will stop. And one day your eternal destiny will be determined. And my plea is that you would know Christ. That the Holy Spirit would be given to you as a deposit so that when you die, you will be with God forever. And this is why Eureka Baptist Church exists. We don't just exist just to have a good time together. We love doing that, and we're going to do that today. But that's not the main reason we exist. The main reason we exist is the gospel. We exist to grow. Our mission statement, as I mentioned, is to grow in Christ together. And the word grow is a pun. A pun is when there's two meanings to the word. We want to send as many people to heaven as we can. And we want the people in this church to grow and grow and grow in their relationship with Christ. So that when this life is over, many people from Eureka Baptist will stand before Christ, holy and blameless. And Jesus will say the words, well done, good and faithful servant. And there are many in the history of the church who have heard those words. And may that be so for we who are here today. So we have this common bond at this church. This common bond will keep this church going by God's grace, till Christ returns. So in this sermon, what we have seen is that we must celebrate God's work at Eureka Baptist, past, present, and future. And during this time, I've highlighted three areas: our history, our uniqueness, and the bond that holds us together, which is Jesus Christ. Today is a celebration of God's work through this church over the last 140 years. And over that period of time, God has not just been growing crops among us. He's been growing disciples of Christ. And He is going to continue that work as we trust Him. And may He continue to bless this church until Christ comes through the sky and returns and gathers his people to be with him. At this time, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, you have been so gracious to this church. You think about how many churches are 140 years old. Not many. How many churches never made it to 140 years? Probably many. And yet you, in your gracious will, have decided to keep this ship going in this community. And we say thank you today. And may this church, Lord, continue the mission of growing in Christ together. And my prayer, Lord, is that if anyone is here who has never trusted in Christ for their salvation, for the forgiveness of their sins, my prayer is that they would do that this day and be with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just want to say, if you would like to talk to someone, you can talk to me, you can talk to anybody else. We'd be glad to explain to you, it's believing the gospel. But if you're wondering, well, how do I do that? How do I pray? What does this look like? We'd love to talk to you. Talk to me. You can talk to someone sitting next to you who knows what it means to be a true follower of Christ. So, as you know, we are going to be outside. It looks like the rain has stopped. It looks like it's drying out, which is a good thing, right? We needed the rain, so thank the Lord for that. But we'd love for you to stay around. There is lunch. There's drinks. There's a bouncy house. There's a playground, a new playground that we just got. By the way, we have VBS coming up in 2 weeks, starting July 12th from 6 to 7:30 through July 15th. So if you have any kids, that's coming up, and we'd love for you to join us for that. But I just want to say thank you so much for coming today. We'd love for you to stay around and enjoy the lunch and enjoy fellowship and enjoy hearing from Glory Bound. We have a lot of people in here, so if we could just slowly make our way out, that'd be wonderful. Thank you.